The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 139. And John, what's the title?
This one practically wrote itself, DJ. It's parasomnia.
I mean, yeah, it's right there. It wrote itself. Oh, hey, while we were waiting for that open to play through, and this is a sole property of the Brightside Chat. It's a good thing we put that out, because how many people have tried to steal our stuff, huh?
I know. So many knockoffs.
Like, we put that out as a joke, and it's like now you're looking.
Except no imitations.
Why would anybody want this?
Nah, right. I don't even want it, really.
Oh, man. Oh, we had a lot of books this week, a lot of FOC, some really nice covers. John loves his fishnets.
Still.
Great Loki talk. Open, obviously, with Loki talk. We close with a lot of Loki talk. And funny thing is, we got through the whole podcast and we forgot about Black Widow. So we talk about a little bit of that because it's coming out this week. We talk a little bit of that in Kryptonite Key Club Loki talk. So lots to get to. Lots of fun. Lots of books. John, are you ready to get in the store?
I am.
All right. Can you unlock the goddamn door so we can get into this store?
If I can find my keys, yeah.
There you go. All right, get us in there.
All right.
Hey, Johnny Thunderstorms. How we doing, buddy?
I'm blowing, man. I'm blowing.
Oh, you might want to rephrase that, huh?
I mean, not really.
Wow, we're starting the show off with a bang this week. Holy cow. Wow, talk about bright side.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was just referencing that we have thunderstorms rolling through yet again when you come on. And
I know. It's me. I must bring that.
It's got to be. It's insane. Yeah. It's that time of year up here in New England.
It's my upbeat personality.
Yeah, exactly. Conflicting with, you know, my negativity. So we have your positivity, my negativity, and here we get thunderstorms. So
a recipe for disaster.
Yes, exactly. And a podcast was born. So, hey, I've got big news, but before we get to my big news, we haven't had an update on your grandchildren count. I thought at the end of the month you were supposed to have 9. Everything going okay?
She's due in July. I mean, she's due this month. So, yeah.
Oh, in July.
Yeah, she's due this month. So now we're just trying to... Lydia is, like, pushing her to hold her in until we get back from vacation.
So,
I guess my daughter-in-law is walking around with her legs closed and
got a cork.
You know, she's trying to hold the baby in. So no, she's actually due. I think while we're gone, but you never know. Of course,
yeah. You never. Is it her first or many or how many?
Second.
Second.
Yeah.
Those ones tend to slip out a little easier than the first.
Little bit faster. Yeah.
A little faster. Yeah. So, but all right. Well, hey, let me get to my big news. Did you hear about this? You know what I'm going to talk about last Friday?
So
last Friday, earlier in the week, my wife and my daughter Meg asked if I was free Friday afternoon. I'm like, sure. And they're like, we want to take you for your first birthday. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, not my first birthday, for my birthday, a gift for my birthday.
Yeah, I was going to say your first birthday.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I said first. I don't even know what I was thinking of. But anyways, so they wanted to take me, and Joe's going to meet us, and I'm like, all right, so here we are, Friday afternoon. And, you know, when somebody's going to surprise you, what do? John, you try and figure stuff out. Your gears start turning. So,
if you're a child.
No. I don't want to know, but I'm going, I'm thinking, all right.
He's like shaking the presents.
Oh, and, yeah. No, there's nothing to shake. I'm going somewhere.
Well, I know. So, I know. I'm just, it's a metaphor. Go with me, man. It's a metaphor.
I got you. So I did. I shook the easiest present, my wife. She stinks at these things. She hates these things. She gets all up into a cold sweat and everything. So on Friday, I go, purposefully, because I know I'm like, all right, we'll take my truck. I go, I'll drive. We'll take my truck. Knowing that the only one in the house that can drive my truck other than me is Joe, because they're afraid. I think my daughter would do it like that. She'd have no problem. But my wife's like, no, why don't we take, you can drive my car. Wait a minute. Why can I drive your car to a place I don't know where I'm going?
Well, how could you drive your truck to a place to even
That's
know you were going?
That's the point of me asking the question, John. You see what I'm setting things up here, and I got a response that I thought was like, wow. And I was like, why can I drive there, but now I can't drive home? I said, you're not taking me. You better not be taking me someplace to get me drunk with my kids. I'm like, that's not fun. I go, I don't want to go out and get drunk on a Friday with my kids. And she said, no, we're not taking you to get drunk. And I was like, then why can't I drive home? Why? I'm like, I couldn't figure it out. Right. So I was thinking, so now we're in the car, we're driving there. My daughter's in the passenger seat of my wife's car because she might get a little car sick. So she's sitting in the front. My wife's in the back. Jen's in the back. And I'm driving and they start asking me, where do you think you're going? And I was like, I have no idea. I said, I'm like, I know I can drive there, but I can't drive home. And you wanted to have your vehicle. I said, for all I know, you're taking me to a retirement home.
Right. Like, I mean, I'd be looking in the back to see if there was shovels and trash bags.
That's what I'm
in
thinking.
Because like, that's the only reason why I'm not driving home.
Is this the last ditch effort with my wife's headaches? Like, I'm going to get rid of the final headache? And right. Wow, look at me.
Maybe they'll go away.
Exactly. So I was like, are you taking me to a retirement home? And I said it deadpan. My wife starts cracking up. My daughter's like, oh my God, I'm going to pee my pants because she had to pee. And I'm like, I don't know. We were driving to Woburn, which is like over an hour away from where I live. And I'm like, I have no idea. So we pull in. Joe's already there and we're in some office park. And I see the sign on the door. And the sign on the door is Animal Rescue. And I was like,
Spring Hill Puppy Farm.
I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I am welcome to the world, Franklin. That's what we named him. You've seen the pictures,
right?
Yes, I did. So we adopt for my birthday, they adopted a poop puppy.
A poop puppy?
No, he's adorable. He's supposed to be part, I can't remember what
he looks part shepherd for sure.
Yes, they said he's part shepherd and part something. I can't remember what it is, but he's tiny. He's like 9-10 pounds right now. He's 9 weeks old.
Yeah.
Came all fixed. Everything. Nine weeks old, already fixed. I'm like, hey, all right. Poor guy's missing the coconuts, but all right.
Well, yeah. Hey. It's good for you. But not so great for Franklin.
No, not gonna be any little Franklins running around.
Yep.
But yeah, he's a blast. And we already have two dogs. You met Romy and Stan. Right. And things didn't go as smooth as we thought they would.
No?
No. Am I keeping you up, John? Been a long
time? Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
and if I had to guess, it was Stanley that had the issue. Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I would have bet money on that.
No. What's funny is huskies are they're pack animals, so they're very pack oriented. And apparently when you introduce somebody new to the pack, not too crazy about it.
Oh, okay.
So she got sick. She got worried. Stan was great. Day two, Stan was playing with them and they were having a good, and we thought for sure the other way around, like you said, we thought Romy would have been much better.
Yeah.
But Romy's getting better at it. She's very possessive of her toys and she actually bit him once on the face, cut him a little bit, they're learning. They're learning. They're feeling each other out. So, but we're very excited to have Franklin to the house.
Good, yeah.
Awesome. No grandchildren yet, but I got another dog. Gonna say, I've got three dogs.
Well, he's fixed, so there won't be any grand puppies running around.
No, not yet. Not yet. So, all right. Do you have any other news before we jump into a spoiler-free Loki talk? Things off? All right. Let's get to it. Let's get to Loki then. Wow. Spoiler-free? I don't know. I mean, our kryptonites are dangerously close to we're giving stuff away every week and we don't even know it.
Yeah. It's tough. There's not a lot to say spoiler free here this week.
No. Let me ask you this. What did you keep going up and down. What did you think of this week? Is this better? Are you more on board, less on board? Where are you, John?
Well, again, spoiler free. I guess I'm a little more on board.
Yay.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because I don't want to talk about the TVA or anything like that. But
right.
But yeah, things happened for sure this week. But and yeah, now I still don't know what Loki's doing because.
Well, to the point that we made last week. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened to Loki this week.
We'll get into that spoiler-free, but where do you, at this point of the season, what are we at? Where actually...
Well, that was episode... today is episode 5, right?
5 comes up. We only got one after this week. It's over next week.
We have this week and next. And we won't even be able to talk about next week because...
that's right. That's right. Yep. So, yeah, we'll talk about it later. Where would you rank this so far as between the three series that have been out? Between WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, and Loki so far?
I mean, I still like WandaVision the best. I mean, that's been my favorite all along, and I don't think Loki has topped it for me.
Okay.
It's really hard to say. I mean, Falcon Winter Soldier was definitely more fun. But you know, it's hard to say here without having the last two episodes because,
right.
Obviously I don't know what's going to happen going forward for the next 2 weeks. So, but you know, this still doesn't have the, you know, like the swashbuckling action, you know, buddy cop thing that, Falcon Winter Soldier had. But it may be a better show. I can't say for sure until I see
till the finale, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it would have to do something for me, anyways, like incredibly special to be better than WandaVision for me. So I don't think it's going to get there, but it could be number two. It just depends on how it shakes out. Yeah. So
let me ask you this then. Remember, we were going through WandaVision, and we expected that to really take off at the end, remember, because there was so much speculation on what could happen. And then when it, we were a little disappointed where we're not sure what's happening here and we don't have expectations. Do you think there's an opportunity there for Loki to actually deliver in the way that WandaVision didn't?
Well, again, that's, we have differing opinions there because I was a lot more accepting and settled into what was happening with WandaVision than you were because I had kind of accepted what was happening and settled in a couple of episodes before you did.
Yeah.
You know, you were still bucking the system and saying, it can't just be this. It can't just be this. And so I think you were hoping for more than I was. I was content with what was going on. Now, at the end of the day, did it deliver like sweeping changes to the MCU? That still remains to be seen because, you know, we haven't seen Doctor Strange and, there's still other things going on. Speaking of which, not to derail all this, and I haven't gone back and checked it, but did you hear that they went back in and changed the post-credit scene for WandaVision? And they added some stuff to the post-credit scene very recently.
No,
and
I didn't.
I haven't gone back and looked at it. I think it's more just visual stuff.
You mean they've changed it since we last saw it?
Yes.
So if I go on after the show and look.
Well, I think they've added just visual clues to maybe help identify where she was a little bit more. Like, it's not like they added like a whole new speaking scene or threw Doctor Strange in there or anything like that. But from what I understand, they went back in and made some alterations to that scene. I just haven't gone back in, and I wasn't sure if you had heard that or if you had checked it out.
While you were speaking, WandaVision ending changed. Marvel fans just noticed something strange. The updated scene has fans debating if Doctor Strange makes an appearance.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When is this article from?
Had to be a couple weeks ago.
6/29. Yeah, 6/29.
Yeah, it just happened.
One more surprise up to see appear. Marvel has updated the Disney Plus final post-credit scene with more trees, one less duck, and an invisible floating blob that some viewers are convinced is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But what's really going on with WandaVision, and could it reveal how the Disney Plus show connects to Doctor Strange in the multi? Let's dive in. Then they dive in. That was on Inverse. Yeah. I just grabbed the first thing that showed up when I Googled it.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't
know.
Like, yeah, and I don't think that changes. Yeah, I don't think that changes anything drastically either. But, you know, like they were talking about how WandaVision was going to change the MCU forever. And I don't know that it did that.
Can I interject?
I don't also know that it hasn't. Yeah.
You say it doesn't change the MCU significantly, but then why do it? This is super interesting. After the fact.
No, I'm not talking about the I'm not talking about what they did to the end credit scene. I'm talking about the show in general.
Right.
Like we were talking about, like, all the talk of the show was that it was going to change the MCU forever.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of debate after the finale of whether the show actually did that or not. Most people say it did not, but I would argue that we can't say for sure until we see Doctor Strange.
Right.
But in any case, going back to answer your question, yes, Loki could deliver more changes to the MCU than WandaVision did. Again, we don't know for sure because we haven't seen the end of it. You know, again, I would argue whatever happens with the variants changes things significantly. So, you know, it's hard to say. So, like, might it be a more important show in regards to the MCU? Possibly. But for my, like, entertainment and enjoyment of the show, I still like WandaVision.
Yeah.
I still like it. And, you know, and honestly, it's just the kid. Like, I love Tom Hiddleston, don't get me wrong, but I love Lizzie Olsen and Paul Bettany more. And, like, I think their chemistry is better. I think they are just more entertaining to watch. So, for me, it's all about that. Like, I just like those people and those characters and spending time with those characters more.
I'll agree with you there that I think WandaVision had a better cast of characters. They have a more engaging cast between all of them,
even,
right?
Because even with the secondary characters, because you have Darcy and you have Agent Wu and all this others. There was a lot of fun,
yeah. But I think with Loki, you have Tom Hiddleston is just he's just so good and, like you said, so much fun to watch that I think he's in what's his name? Owen Wilson?
Yeah,
Owen Wilson. I always get them mixed up, the brother and whatever. But anyways, so Owen Wilson, those two, the chemistry they have, I think they don't have the same size cast, but those two are fantastic too. And I mean,
they are. I agree.
But at the same time, no disrespect to Owen Wilson, because I love his personality. I think he's perfectly cast for this. I love the way he's like, I think he does a great job at playing both sides of things. And we're in spoiler free, so I don't want to give anything away. But I think you know what I mean. We could talk about it in Kryptonite more. But his character, his sarcasm, his everything, it really plays into that role. But at the same time, don't you feel like Tom Hiddleston could have played with anybody in that role and been awesome?
Well, yes, I do. I think so. He's very entertaining. Yeah, he could have probably played opposite a tree, really. And
exactly.
I guess,
I know, and it's he is that good.
Again, and not to take anything away from Owen Wilson, because he's fine. You know, I mean, he's. You know, he's
I think he brings
the same in everything, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
He's just the same.
Yeah. But, But I think and that's my point. His character, his personality in this role, I think is really good for the role. And right. Like I said, you know what I mean. I don't want to give anything away if people haven't seen it, but very interesting though, that interesting news on WandaVision, the ending has changed. I want to go back and check that out.
I meant to do it too. And then
there's also a new credit too. Did you hear that?
Oh no.
Michael Giacchino, who composed the score for Doctor Strange, was added to the list of composers. He wasn't there when it initially aired. So
that seems more like just a correction of an oversight, though. You know,
but is it? Maybe they or added. Maybe they added, he added maybe, something yeah, in because maybe they what added I think is interesting is there's one less duck and an there's more trees, one less duck and an invisible. If it's invisible, how do you know it's there? I just realized that. Invisible floating blob. Okay.
Well, maybe you see the clouds displaced right, you or just something. See you something know, you move, see, right. Yeah.
But you can see that the has outline to mean something. But... And it's like, is it possible that there's...
Oh, it absolutely means something.
Right,
like
but
said,
no.
Why do it?
Well, what I'm saying is this the point of like the multiverse and things can be changed? And are they going back and like, this is an example. Look at that. This just changed in the multiverse. And they're going to change. So, like, pay attention because it might not be there next week. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's odd.
It's fun.
Well, and it's also odd that they would do that so late in the game because, like, who's still watching? You know?
Not only that, who's still watching to notice? Because if you've never seen it, you're watching it, you wouldn't know, right?
Right.
Like,
that's what I mean.
There had to have been a leak. Like to somebody like, hey, check this out. We did something.
Oh, because yeah, I'm sure.
I don't think I wouldn't have noticed it, but now I will.
I probably wouldn't have noticed it even if I watched it again because
that's what I mean.
Don't pay that much attention the first time around. Like I wouldn't notice more trees and one duck. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
less trees.
It's not like when I watched it the first time.
One less duck.
I was counting the trees and the ducks. You know, I wouldn't have noticed the difference.
The only way I noticed is if there's less ducks. As if there was only one big duck on the screen, and then he's gone.
To start with, and then it was right.
It's like, there's no duck. So we're,
and even
we're
then,
down
I might
duck.
Not remember that there was a duck there. So
maybe it was a goose.
Right.
Wow. Look at Disney just always getting into the news one way or another. Isn't that insane? Yeah. So smart.
Well, that's what I say. That's what they do.
Yep. So it's what they do. All right. Let's move along. We'll come back to Loki at the end with Kryptonite, and we'll talk spoilers, and we'll probably break something. We're gonna have to do an extra good job this week, John, because we can't break anything next week. So
that's right.
But all right, are we ready to get to this week's news?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Where are we this week? Excuse you. Oh, yes, there we go. Breaking news. We'll lead off with this. Sad news.
Yeah, so sad yesterday, news, yeah. Yeah, so obviously we'll start with rest in peace to Richard Donner. Passed away yesterday. Well, actually, I guess Monday, right?
Yeah,
so,
Monday.
2 days ago. At 91, so pretty good run. prolific director throughout the 70s and 80s, but most... people that we associate with will probably remember him most for Superman.
Yeah. And, well, for me, Superman, it's Superman and Lethal Weapon.
Right.
Because he was Lethal Weapon. He was in Lethal Weapon. I think he was in Superman, too.
He might have been. Yeah.
I can't remember who he was, but I know he was in Lethal Weapon. He was like the captain or whatever, the chief of the police.
Right.
But yeah, it's and when I found that out back in the 80s, I was like, That's the guy that did Superman?
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool that he was in the movie. Yeah.
That he was in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, he's in Lethal Weapon, which is, at the time, was such a like a 180 from Superman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, But yeah, that was he's 91. That's a good run.
Yeah, that's
good
what
run.
I'm saying. That's a good run, you know.
Yeah.
And he obviously, you know. He lived a life, had lots of success, so can't feel too bad, you know.
Well,
other than the fact that, you know, it's a bummer when anybody passes, but
yeah.
But, you know, you can't feel too bad. It's not like he was 30.
And, yeah. You
know, kind of cut down in his prime.
Well, so. 51, John.
Yeah, we're 51.
But. No, what was he supposed to be working on a newer lethal weapon? Was he a part of that?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't even look that up.
I didn't even know that they were working on it.
There's always been rumors, and I thought he was involved. So I'm wondering if that has any impact on it. I didn't get a chance to look it up since then, but
yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's
too bad. I mean, they're rebooting everything, so
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, I mean, we had a reboot on TV a couple years ago of Lethal Weapon, so
yeah. Yeah, that didn't last long.
Yeah. It didn't last long, but you know, it was plagued with issues.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, so yep. Like I said, sad news.
Yep. Rest in peace.
Yep.
All right. Let's move along to this was interesting. Filming soon.
Well, yeah.
What did you read? Because all I could find is next year.
The only significance to this for me, and you know, we'll tell everybody what it is that the Old Guard 2 is set to start filming soon for Netflix. Again, the only relevance of this story to me was the fact that Old Guard 2 was going to be filming. Because as far as I know, this is the first official confirmation we've had that there is going to be an Old Guard 2. The article itself didn't have any specifics on what soon means. But I was just happy to see that Charlize had signed on and that the project was moving forward. Because, you know, again, you and I have read the graphic novel and know that the story definitely continues past, you know, what happened
what
in the
we
first
know.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just happy that we're getting that. Hopefully we'll get a graphic novel number 3 before they need to film Old Guard 3.
Yeah.
so that we have the end of the story and we don't have a Game of Thrones things happening.
Oh.
But yeah, like I said, for me, I was just happy to see that this was a thing.
Yeah. So in my search for image to put up on YouTube, it's so far everything is the script is done, everything's ready to go. Between getting everybody together, they're looking to start filming at the beginning of 2022. As one report said, first quarter of 2022, and then they're looking for an early 2023 release.
Yeah, so we're a little ways away, 2 years away.
Yeah, a little ways away. I got all excited when you sent me the news, when your clip, and I was like, ooh, I thought like this month and maybe we, and then I saw early 2022. I was like, it's coming out already. And I'm like, nope. No. Yeah. So, but these aren't like shows. Like they seem to turn the shows around pretty fast. Like if they started today filming, like,
right,
for instance, Mandalorian, we could expect Mandalorian to be out early 2022.
Right.
The movies, for some reason, and
take a little longer.
And Old Guard 1, if you haven't seen it, the Old Guard, very good production quality. It's a Netflix movie, but it could have been and probably should have been in theaters.
Yeah, it's
came out last July, for sure. Of course, you know, right in the middle of COVID. But I don't think it was ever supposed to be in theaters. I think it was Netflix.
No, original. Yeah, I don't believe so. It's a Netflix original. Yeah.
So, but yeah, really enjoyed the movie. And that, I mean, we hadn't read it before the movie. And then we blasted through
either,
the trades after that.
I hadn't read either one of them.
So good.
Until after I saw the movie.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. I love Charlize Theron too.
I do as well.
Have you seen the latest? No, you probably haven't seen F9, Fast and the Furious 9.
Oh, no.
She's in the latest, too. She's in 8 and 9. And
that, yeah, I know that. They're actually rumored to be working on a spinoff
with
movie
her.
For her character.
I can't think of a movie of hers that I don't like. I think she's fantastic. And she has such range.
Really
And she'll do anything. She'll do a comic book movie. She's done a few of them. Quite a few, actually. She'll do it like Monster. She'll do a serious movie. She'll win Academy Awards. She's awesome. And it's like, I mean, when you see her name attached to something, you're like, all right, I got to go see that.
Yeah, it's just going to be good. Yeah. Well, it hasn't got me to see Fast 8 or Fast 9, but...
That's what got me to see 9. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm like, I can't wait to see it now. I just realized, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. She's in that. I'm like, I'm going to have to see that. So, because I just like to see her on the screen.
Yeah, I don't know that even she can drag me to that movie. But
oh, come on. Things go boom when this thing, when it comes out into home theater. You'll watch it.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of the other ones. So
oh, man.
I don't know why I would watch that one.
They're so realistic, John.
I know. like, have you seen, like, the explosive memes all over the internet?
No, what do you mean?
With, well, like, apparently, at some point in the movie, Vin Diesel references his superpower as family or something like that.
Right.
And they are just having their way with it all over. There's, right. like, memes galore. Yeah, mostly Star Wars memes, but there's all kinds of other ones.
Yeah, there
too,
was one like, it, you know, family isn't as fast. Well, family is faster than the speed of light.
Like, yeah,
I didn't get what they were until I started seeing more, and I go, oh, there must be something in F9.
It was like all I saw today. Like, yeah. It just started happening, like I guess yesterday and today. But I saw like 50 different ones today. So
yeah,
it's like all over the place.
It's so funny because Vin Diesel's like the exact opposite of Charlize Theron, but I still like to see him on screen. I still have fun seeing his, you know, Triple X, you know, Bloodshot. I mean, he's Pitch Black. You see all of these different things. It's like, but he's like Owen Wilson. It's like, there's Vin Diesel.
Yeah, he's the same. Yeah, he's the same in everything.
Yeah, he's got great range. Him.
Yeah, he's great at playing Vin Diesel.
Right, so. Exactly. But I still enjoy them. You know, they. Yeah. But yeah, for a different reason. But I still enjoy his movies.
Yeah.
So,
much different reasons. Kind of like why I prefer WandaVision to Loki.
Oh God! Yeah. Oh, I've got when we get to FOC, I think I know your favorite book this week.
Oh, well, there's a couple of them.
But I think I found one. When we get to it, there's one paced right after the other, and the one right in front of it, I go, this is the best book of the week. Click. Nope, there's John's.
All right. Well, we'll see when we get there.
Yep. All right. Let's move along. Oh, right. What a shame, John.
Yeah. So from filming soon to not filming at all, looks like HBO Max has canceled Lovecraft Country. So there will be no season 2 for that. That came as a bit of a surprise because I thought the season 1 did very well for them and had a pretty big fan base. So I thought this was kind of a slam dunk that there would be a season 2 for this.
Yeah.
And it seems like HBO Max is the one that pulled the plug because all the cast and crew were set to return. And
so maybe maybe Netflix or something will pick it up.
We're into it. Yeah, maybe.
If they can. I don't know how
if
that
works.
If they
can, yeah. I don't know
what the services. We own it.
Well,
we're not giving it away.
I don't know what the copyright rights are for that, but HBO would have to literally sell it to Netflix.
Well, the headline that I grabbed says HBO cancels Lovecraft Country after only one season. And then below the byline says show creator Misha Green took to social media to tease what fans could have expected from second season.
Yeah,
so
that's always
I'm like,
awesome.
Is that like, huh?
I said, that's always awesome when they say, this is what you could have had. But
that
you won't.
Is that a chance that like she's putting it out there, like shopping it?
Could be,
you know what I mean? Like, hey, they don't want it, but does somebody else want to produce this? You know, I don't know. I mean, we'd watch it. It was a weird show.
It was weird, but I dug it. I thought the season. I thought
oh, we had
one
fun
was
with
pretty
it.
Good. Yeah.
So, all right. And this next one, this is good news. Maybe I'll finish season 7 before 8. But okay.
Yeah, it looks like Flash season 8. You know, we reported earlier that they lost two major cast members, but it looks like they've locked down three others for season 8.
Yep.
Jesse L. Martin, Danielle Panabaker, and Candace Patton have all signed up for at least one more season of The Flash. No mention of Grant Gustin, but I would imagine they've locked him down too, because if they haven't, there's no reason to lock anybody else down. So
they're locked in, suckers.
Yeah. So, so yeah, I guess that's good. You know, that's good news. I guess, like I said, I'm out on The Flash, so. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but I don't think I'm coming back.
What I like, I've done this in the past too, past seasons, is I'll fall off at the end, and then when things slow down for me in like the fall, I'll stop binging it again, and then I'll catch up right before the next season starts. So, especially once it hits, have they had their last episode yet?
Oh, no, I think they've got a few. Well, I don't know. I don't think they have.
I don't remember.
I know Batwoman ended.
Yeah.
I don't know if Supergirl or Flash have ended, but I haven't seen anything.
I can't like, wait even to though get I'm not to the watching, end of Batwoman. Because you again, saw they brought her watching, back, right?
They brought who back?
The character, not the woman that played her, though.
Oh, Kate Kane. Well, yeah, Kate Kane is
Kane back.
Back.
But
right, I knew that
woman.
From a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's Wallace Day. She played on Krypton.
Yep.
And something else that I watched very recently.
But that's another one. I'll binge watch the rest of that just to see how the storyline goes.
But like I was saying, I'm not watching Supergirl, but I feel like I would have heard about the finale because it is the series finale.
Right.
So I don't think that's happened yet.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. And this last one here, actually.
Yeah. And last but not least, this is a bit of news as well. AnimeCon or something like that happened over the weekend. And Disney announced that Star Wars Visions, which is like the anime reimagining of some of the Star Wars lore.
Yeah.
And it is going to release on September 22nd on Disney Plus. So that was actually news to me. Like, I had no idea we were actually that close to this. I knew that they were working on it, but I didn't realize that that's something we were going to get this year. So
yeah.
So yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah, it does.
I haven't watched any. There was like a teaser for it. I didn't really watch any of it. I did see some of the art, like the stills, some of the artwork, and it's very anime inspired, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, again, it's Star Wars, so
says to be non-canon, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. I think that's what I'm saying. I think it's some reimaginings of, like, we might see some of the, you know, Luke's invaders and stuff like that doing, some different stories. So
yeah,
but yeah,
hey, it's Star Wars,
kind of like a what? I guess it's like Star Wars What If, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're gonna get What If from Marvel around the same time, so I think to me that's what this looks like a little bit. So
that's interesting, especially if they bill it as that and say, all right, if people know going in, like, ooh, this could be interesting, let's see and see what happens. I think if they don't make it clear that it's not something like that, I think people, it could go south fast because people will not understand and be like, this is bull. What is going on here? Because, you know, finicky
maybe,
Star
I feel
Wars
like the people
can.
That are going to watch it will probably already know.
I hope
so.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, that doesn't mean they won't go crazy because that's Star Wars. But
welcome to the world.
Yeah.
All right,
people are garbage.
Yeah. I have one last thing from my buddy Zach down there on the border. Zach says he sent me this. I put the graphic up. It's Christopher Lee's Wikipedia page. It says witnessed this. You know, Christopher Lee played Count Dooku. What's his name?
Saruman.
There you go. He said, now these are some highlights from his Wikipedia page. Witnessed the last public execution in France using a guillotine. Almost married Swedish royalty, was even given permission by the King of Sweden. The inspiration for James Bond, which was written by his step cousin, Ian Fleming. He is James Bond.
Didn't know that.
I didn't either. The only member of the Lord of the Rings cast to actually meet Tolkien. And played in a heavy metal band.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
I did know that, yes.
I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know the witness, the public.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know any of that stuff
like,
either.
What a life,
but I
though.
But I did know that he was in a heavy metal band.
That's crazy. So. Well, he kind of looks like it as Saruman.
Well, he does, yeah.
Or as Dooku.
Either one.
But yeah, I didn't know he was related to Ian Fleming and he was the inspiration for James Bond.
No, I didn't know that either.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, quite the life.
Yeah. John, I got a puppy.
I know. Like,
that's my life.
That's my life.
That's my life. And I know you. Yeah.
Right.
So you can see how things are breaking for me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. All right, John. Are you ready to get to some comics this week? Because we've got some stuff to talk about. We got lots of books in FOC this week, too.
Yeah, we do.
Quite a few books. So, All right. You ready?
I am.
All right. Brace yourself. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week? All right.
All right. So the long ordeal that was Batman Fortnite comes to an end this week. Issue number 6 hits
that lady can finally come back to the store.
Yeah. Actually, you know, technically hit the stands yesterday, but for me today. So, you know, just like all the previous issues, pricing is all over the place. There's plenty of sales at cover price. There's some for $10. There's even one all the way up to like $25 for this book. The incentive variant, the 1 in 150, is actually going for a bit below ratio at between $100 and $125. So, there should be plenty of these out there by this point. Like I said, we were kind of caught up by issue 4. And they became a lot easier to get than the first.
This is the one that I sent you, is the 1 in 150, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
It's a
sketched cover.
Yeah.
The only picture I could find was on eBay.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of stores that went 150 copies on this. I obviously didn't get anywhere near that, so I have not seen this. I probably saw it when I was doing FOC, but I might not have even paid attention because I wasn't going to order it. So I just scroll right past that stuff.
That's like your week.
Yeah.
Like 150 books.
I think 150 books a week. No, I mean, we get more than that, but not one book. Take a look at that. If you're into the 1 in 150, see what you can do. There's a book called God Killer Tomorrow's Ashes, issue number 1. Most of the incentives are going over ratio, but most of the sales on this were kind of a little bit older. They took place a few weeks ago, so it's kind of hard to pin down the exact prices for today on this, but still one to probably keep an eye on if you can pick up any of the incentive variants.
Any of the covers, I think I grabbed the 1 in 30 variant is what I got up here now.
Yeah, if you can get them at around ratio or below, they're probably worth grabbing and holding on to. Justice League number 64. This is the first appearance of the United. Looks like this is the one that the spec guys chose to jump on this week. And that pushed this book up to between $15 and $20. So, don't know the significance of the United, but we'll see.
Me either.
Yet. Snake Eyes Dead Game number 5. So the long-awaited 5th issue of Snake Eyes Dead Game, because it feels like number 4 came out like before COVID. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I forgot all about this book even existing, and then it showed up on FOC a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, that's a
we
thing.
Read the first one. We liked it, didn't we?
I read the first issue. Yeah, I didn't go past that. I wasn't really into it, but most of the incentives here are going over ratio. The 1 in 10 is selling for about $20. And the 1 in 25 is a little under ratio, actually, at about $40. So
it's pretty cool. I'm flipping back and forth between the two of them here. Wait till you see it on YouTube. It's like with color, without color.
And without.
With color, without color. It's actually pretty insane. Yeah. Oops, wrong one. Went too far. It's actually got a 3D effect. Check all that out on YouTube. And while you're there, don't forget to hit subscribe.
If you're not one of the 18... that already
you know, 18 people right now are just so excited.
Yeah, they're getting the 3D effect on yep. Snake Eyes Dead game.
All right.
And then Stray Dogs. This just continues to be hot. So we're looking at like kind of like the later printings here. The fourth printing of issue number one is selling for about $15, but that's a copy has thing. Sold as high as yep. $40. Third printing for number two is selling for about $20. Third printing for number three, $25. Third printing for number four, $20. We talked about the first printings of this last week. This book is just like going crazy. Bananas. It has been optioned for an animated show, I'm told, and I think that's what's driving this. But no word on like who, what, when, or where.
Right.
But obviously this would be an adult animated show, not for kids. So, yeah, I don't know.
The dogs super are hot. So cute on it, too.
They are. It's like great it was a great covers. Book. Like, I really enjoyed the series. You know, it finished a week or two ago. I read that, and it was pretty, you know, it was a pretty entertaining book. But, you know, again, this one's just, it's gone nuts. So,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Apparently, if you can grab any of those printings of any of the issues, it's, they're worth grabbing. Okay, and that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All righty. Let's, John, it's time to dive in. Back issue bonus.
All right. First book is Basilisk issue number one, the second print. This just came out last week, so you may be able to find this on the shelf still. This is selling for about $10. Apparently due to the House of Slaughter preview that I guess is inside the book. Again, might be able to grab it for cover price if you go out looking for it.
Cool.
All right. This book we talked about last week as well, White issue number one. Checking in on this a week after release, it looks like it's up to between $65 and $80. And there is a second print of this that are already pre-selling for $20.
Yeah.
This was the second book we were supposed to read this week. I did not get a chance to read it because I couldn't get my hands on a copy to read.
Yeah, I couldn't get it either. You can't even get it digitally.
Yeah. No, it's nowhere. I couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah. So did not read it. Again, this is more speculator-driven than anything. I don't think anybody that bought this cares at all about the story. They bought it because it was allocated the 2,500 units, and
that's it. Yeah,
that's pushing the price on this. Okay, next, another book from last week that kind of hit late Wednesday, early Thursday is when I heard about this. But X Factor issue number 10 features the death, quote unquote, of Scarlet Witch. I don't know if anybody believes that Wanda is dead and will stay dead, but in any case, this book spiked last week to as high as $35 and has now settled in at around $15 to $18 for all three covers on this. So definitely one to watch, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. This leads into the Trial of Magneto storyline, which I'm sure by the end of that will reveal that Wanda is, you know, still alive.
Very well. Much alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. Okay. Another book from last week, Black Cat Annual number one. This is the first appearance of something named the Tiger Division. This book is selling for about $20. So, again, might be able to find these on your shelf for cover price. So take a look at that.
Yep.
All right. Here's the one. I'm going to let you do this because you know more about this than I do, apparently. So why don't you go ahead and talk about
Mark
this.
Mark the date. Yeah. No, I don't know more about this. My buddy Tim does. And remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you I was at his house for his 50th birthday, and he's the collector that has the walk-in room that with the dehumidifier room and everything. Beautiful room, beautiful collection of books. One of the books that he had mentioned was this book. He had mentioned The Hulk, number 13. He had showed it to me, and the image I have on the screen right now is that picture that I took that night. And when you had sent the notes this week for what Marvel preview number 21, and the notes were, it's Moon Knight hype continues, and it's like, this was Bill Sienkiewicz? Is that how you say it?
Sienkiewicz.
Sienkiewicz. So yes, it's the first time he drew Moon Knight. Well, that's not the, this is the first time he did the cover. That was the information that Tim gave me. This is his first cover of Moon Knight, his first drawing.
The Hulk book.
Huh?
The Hulk book.
No. Moon Knight, Marvel Preview. Marvel Preview Moon Knight was Marvel Preview number 21.
Is
he drew that cover. Okay. But like a year earlier, because The Hulk number 13 came out in February of 79. Marvel Preview says, like you and I were saying earlier, it says March of 1980. That's a year later. And he was showing me, like, he was actually, he went to the omnibuses of all this stuff or whatever. He's got images. Like, he sent me a bunch of pictures of, like, the covers and everything. He was reading and telling me all about this. But I sent it to him. Soon as I got the notes this week, I sent them the clip of this book that we're talking about. And I said, hey, look at what we're talking about this week. And I'm like, he happened to show me, he has it. His is, like I said, I'm showing it right now on YouTube. His is graded at a 9.6. It's The Hulk. And it even says at the top corner, if you were to zoom in on the image, it says it's the first Bill Sienkiewicz or whatever. I'm saying it wrong or whatever, but that's the first time him drawing. First artist of him drawing Moon Knight. So,
okay.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. But yeah, if there's stuff going on up there right now saying Marvel Preview 21 is the first, that's the first cover. So,
okay. All right. Well, yeah. Well, so anyway, yeah, that was the book that we were talking about, Marvel Previews 21. So apparently this is the first cover appearance or cover art of Moon Knight by Bill Sienkiewicz. But yeah, pricing on this is all over the place. A very fine near mint raw copy sold for about $250 a couple weeks ago. And you know, Moon Knight is obviously as hot as can be right now. So
right.
So whether it's the first drawing, you know, whether it's his first drawing or not, you know, it's this book there. Is still hot. Yeah, it's still hot. And it's still up there. So definitely one. If you have it, good on you.
Yeah.
if not, be on the hunt for it.
Yeah. But it's just funny that when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute, this sounds all familiar to me. And I went back and I texted him right away. He happened to be working from home, so he's going through all the stuff. And he's like, yep. Right. But he brought it up to me, all that Moon Knight stuff. He brought it up to me, like I said, almost 3 weeks ago now.
So, cool.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Next up.
All right. Next is Fantastic Four, number 272. This is the first appearance of Nathaniel Richards. Raw copies of this are selling for between $50 and $75 due to his connection with Kang, who is set to appear in Ant-Man 3. And then issue 273 has also jumped up to about $30. So definitely check your dollar bins or your back issue bins in your stores for these, because you know, they could be very underpriced if stores aren't watching.
Yep.
Okay, Thor Annual number 6. This is the second appearance of Korvac, and it is selling for between $40 and $50. Thor 245. This is the first He Who Remains, who is the creator of the Timekeepers.
Ooh.
And that is selling for $30 plus.
I wonder why that's there.
I wonder. Journey into Mystery, number 632. This is the first appearance of Thorri the Hellhound. It is selling for about $20. I mean, I know who Thorri is. I don't know why that's significant right now, though. Like, I don't know if Thorri is rumored to appear in Loki or the Thor movie or anything like that. But
Could just be somebody guessing and they buy something and it makes it spike.
Well, it could be. You know? Yeah, it could be. People speculating on things. So
right.
All right. Star Wars X-Wing Rogue Squadron number 21. This is the first appearance of Baron Sunter Fell, selling for about $50. And then last but not least, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, number 47. This was the final issue of this run. Very low print run, obviously, a book that wasn't selling well and got canceled. So this is selling for about $20. And that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. All righty then. Oh, let's see. What do we get to next? Oh, yeah. FOC. It's funny. All right. Some weeks we get like demonetized for that, and then other weeks we don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on YouTube. Because if you're stealing somebody else's stuff, and I'm like, seriously, is that considered theft? What do we have, like six notes?
Well, yeah, I thought under 30 seconds or so.
YouTube's got their own set of rules, and it's people like if there's anything they can file. And I've been on my home theater one. I've been demonetized a bunch of times for doing the trailers. And actually a few times I've gotten permission from the people, like whatever trailer I play, they'll demonetize it. And then they'll be like, nope, we're going to allow that one. I'm like,
nice.
Really? Is people talking about my crap?
Awesome.
Isn't it?
Well, they must get notified somehow.
I would guess or something like that. It's probably just a computer going, no, it's not. He's not that good.
Well, yeah.
Who cares?
He's got like seven listeners. We're okay with that.
Yeah. And it's like, but I mean, on chat, demonetize us. As long as that means I don't have to pay you. Because we're not getting any money for it, so you can't really demonetize. Yeah, you can't go lower than zero.
I've been demonetized for 180-something issues already of this show, so I don't know.
I know. I got money going out the window.
Yeah.
But all right. Let's get to FOC here.
Yeah, starting with DC variant covers, we have Batman number 111 by Lucio Perillo.
It's a nice cover.
It is a nice cover. Yeah. I like Lucio Perillo's work. Batman Urban Legends number 6. Ejikure, I guess, is the name of the artist.
Why is that out of Ejikure?
Ejikure. This is the Black Canary cover.
Oh yeah, okay, I got the right one. All right, it showed up on your thing in the wrong order. So this is the cover I had you as the favorite cover of the week.
It's definitely up there. I really like it.
This is a great cover because, I mean, one, I know you love fishnets.
Fishnets, of course.
Yeah, but I also like...
What's not to like?
You in them.
Yes, true. That is true.
That was a bad night, John. but the rings of sound in this cover, I think, are fantastic. Yeah. Really cool looking.
Yeah, it's a really good cover.
Yeah, it is. Good. So again, check that out on YouTube.
Yes.
Next up,
Justice League number 66, Alexander Lozano. Cool Batman cover.
That's an awesome cover. That's the cover I saw first that I was like, oh, this has got to be the cover of the week. It's just, I mean, the drawing is awesome. The detail on his, like his boot, his calf and everything.
The boot,
Oh, it looks so good. And then I got to the Urban Legends. And I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I was like, I know what John likes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great cover.
I actually like this cover coming up too. Sensational Wonder Woman number 6.
Yeah.
Cale New. Also really cool cover. DC had some really nice covers this week.
Yes.
Really nice covers. And then, as far as new series, we have Joker Presents a Puzzle Box, issue number 1 of 7. And there was multiple covers for that.
I've been wondering if they're going to come out with a new Joker book. It's been a while, John.
I know. I mean, it's almost like we have had one every week for the last year.
I know. But for the guy with no origin story, he has the most stories.
Yeah. And apparently he's telling this one. This is Joker Presents. So.
Exactly. Now he's Alfred Hitchcock. What the heck?
Yeah. He's out there like slinging stories. I don't know if he could sit still to give us 7 issues, though. That's the problem.
I know.
So, yeah. All right. Moving on to Image Comics, we have The Me You Love in the Dark, issue number 1. This is 5-issue miniseries. There was 1 cover available for
this. Doesn't sound like a children's book.
It does not. It is written by Scotty Young, though, who is very eclectic. He has all kinds of different.
Write children's books?
Well, he wrote the most recent run of Deadpool, but he also writes like I Hate Fairyland. He's got like all kinds of different stuff that he writes. So this could go in any number of directions, I guess is my point. There's no telling what this is going to be. And then Trover Saves the Universe, issue number 1. I guess this is from one of the creators of Rick and Morty.
It looks
like going
it.
To be a yeah. It looks, I don't want to say kiddish because Rick and Morty is definitely
kiddish.
Not for kids.
No, but it's that same art style. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a 5-issue miniseries and it has 2 covers.
Yep.
Okay. From Marvel, we have a couple of variant covers. Marvel does their series variant covers every month. Last month was the Pride covers and they were all done by Phil Jimenez. This month is a series of, Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month covers, and they're all done by In-Hyuk Lee. So the 2 that we have here are for Hellions number 14 and X-Men number 2. I really like both of these covers, actually.
Yeah.
We like In-Hyuk Lee, but this is a little bit different than his normal style. But these are really nice. These are kind of watercolory.
Yes.
Almost remind me of the series that Peach Momoko has going on this month because she's got a series of like watercolor variant covers happening right now. And these are a similar feel to that, but better art because it's In-Hyuk Lee and not Peach Momoko.
Right.
So these are really, I don't know, I think they're really nice covers.
Yeah,
like
they are.
Both.
They're really nice.
Okay, for new series from Marvel, we have Black Panther number 1, and there's going to be multiple covers for this.
Yeah, the one I have up is a like wraparound cover.
It's the wraparound
just a mural.
Cover, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
really,
really
nice.
Nice cover. Yeah,
it's really nice. Next, we have Deadpool Black, White, and Blood number 1 of 5 with multiple covers. I mean, this seems like a no-brainer. You know, we've had Carnage and Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood, so stands to reason that we'll get Deadpool as well.
Black, White, and Blood's come out for everything on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, well, and Red Sonja, Black, White, and Blood comes out today. So there's that as well.
Hey, quick question on that Black Panther number 1. Can't believe I haven't asked this before. Is there a way you can buy those things like before they fold them? Is there places to buy stuff like that so you could frame? I mean, because that cover right there looks like it should be framed.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, Marvel offers posters for a lot of their covers that we can order through Diamond. So there's probably a poster version of that cover. But as far as being able to order the covers themselves unpunched, I've never seen anywhere where you can do that.
Right.
So,
maybe we'll look into that because that's a beautiful cover.
It's really nice. But like I said, I'm sure there's probably a poster version of that you can order.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Extreme Carnage Lasher number 1. This is the next in the series of Extreme Carnage one shots. There's multiple covers for this. And then last but not least, we have Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters, Forlom and Zuckuss one-shot. And there's multiple covers for that. So, again, there's a whole bunch of one-shots tied into the War of the Bounty Hunters series.
And,
this is one. Okay. moving on down to AWA, we have a book called Not All Robots, number one. There's two covers available for that. Don't know anything about this book, but the cover looks great. So I'm definitely interested.
It looks really good. Looks interesting.
It does.
Mark Russell writing?
Yeah. And Mike Diodato, I think, is the artist on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot of work for AWA recently, just finished up Redemption and Bad Mother. So great art style there. Okay, Ablaze Comics. We have Maria Lovett's Porcelain number one with multiple covers. And then last but not least from Dynamite, we have two books. Elvira meets Vincent Price, number one, with the usual Dynamite number of covers.
Yep.
And Kiss Phantom Obsession, number one, also with the usual Dynamite number of covers.
Yeah.
I feel like Dynamite is really reaching with some of these. Like, who alive today, besides like us, know who Elvira or Vincent Price are?
And the Phantom. Like,
yeah.
Remember the movie Kiss Meets the Phantom or whatever? That was on TV?
Really reaching for the old folks with some of these Dynamite books. And Dynamite does that. You know, they've got the, like the Deja Thoris books and Barbarella. And like, these are all properties that are made for people that are in their 50s and 60s. So I guess this is nothing new, but yeah, they're really reaching on these, some of these titles.
That's okay.
Okay. Yep, that is it for FOC.
All righty. Let's see what do. Oh, we're up to checkout, John.
We ready? Are. Yes.
Big list this week, John.
Big list. Yeah, we only have one book this week, so I guess we have our show title. unless you have another book.
Is that our show title? Only one book this week?
Only one book, yeah. I wanted
that can
to
be
read
only one.
I wanted to read either White or Barbaric, and I didn't get a chance to read either one of them. Both of them were sold out before I got a chance to read them. So the only book I read, as far as like number one issues go, is Parasomnia from Dark Horse Comics. This is number one of four.
Yep.
Written by Cullen Bunn, who seems to be as prolific as Peach Momoko these days, because Cullen Bunn is writing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And has art by Andrea Moody, who I know we've talked about recently on another book in Checkout, but I don't remember what the book was. I just remember the name. Prometheus, Starship Down. Neither one of those are books we talked about on Checkout, though, so it must have been something else. I don't really know what this book was about, to be honest with you. I don't know if you got a chance to read this or not.
Yeah, I read it.
It seemed to be, you know, it starts out in present day, and we're following basically a homeless person who is being harassed by some young guys who want him to leave where they want to hang out. And then it appears, at least my understanding, is that he is fantasizing about like another reality in which he's like a hero, and the guys that are harassing him, he ends up like in a sword fight with in
right,
like his fantasy world. And in this world, he's searching for his son, and so basically it's him kind of going through the land, and this takes place like in a I don't know exactly what the time frame would be, but kind of like Zorro. He kind of looked like Zorro to me, so I'm guessing
it
like 1800s
like the
or somewhere.
Time of the Revolution or something.
Maybe,
from the hat,
yeah, maybe Revolutionary War time or something. But he's looking for his son, and so like that's his mission, and he's kind of, we follow him as he's doing that. But meanwhile, we're like cutting back to present day, where we meet a woman who I don't know the significance of, but it seems like she's also searching, like there's a missing person poster that we see at one point, and it looks like she's looking for her son. Yeah. So Yeah, this was like, I don't know. I don't want to say I didn't like it, but I just really didn't grasp what was going on. I'm guessing what I explained is what was happening, but I don't know that that's what was happening.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I wanted to ask you. One of the things I never do this, and that's what I was going to ask you. Before you read books, do you read this? Do you typically read the synopsis?
Never.
Right. Neither do I. I don't want to. I don't
jump
even look
in.
For,
yeah.
I just grab.
Well,
the
I don't
book.
Watch trailers. You know that. So right. Like, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't spoil anything for myself before I watch or read.
Yeah. So. What I thought was interesting about this book, which I can't say I didn't like that part.
Yeah.
But it's at the same time, I needed to read the synopsis or it kind of did wrap up at the end a little bit, but I can't remember if it was like a couple more pages or if it was the synopsis, but it was like, it explained what I just read.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't realize that there was like you do get the point of, well, this is now a week old, so it's not like we can't, there's a missing
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, I mean, spoilers is, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But it was, I didn't understand exactly what was going on until you find out after the fact that you're like, oh, part of this book is in somebody's head.
Right.
Maybe I missed something along the way. Somebody's going to tell us like, oh, dumb, it says it on page 2.
I didn't see anything that told us what was happening. I just was trying to piece it together. And like I said, my description is what I think it was happening. I don't even know if right. that's what was happening or not.
Yeah.
It was just my interpretation of the book.
But what's funny is it makes me want to read 2 though.
I liked the artwork.
I love the artwork.
And
watercolors, big time.
I was kind of on board, so I didn't necessarily get it, but I'm interested in it. So I guess it did that. It did its job in wanting me to, wanting to make me read the second issue. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like typically I don't like it when at the end of the book I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, but, I don't either. But.
But when I read the synopsis and then I looked back at it, I was like, oh, all right. Everything kind of like just like the fog lifted, I guess. You're like, oh, I get it now. I want to see what happens in 2. So,
right.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
Yeah. You know what I'm just noticing about the cover?
What?
It's inverted. I didn't notice that before.
Is it?
If you look at it upside down, it's got it's almost like 2 different covers.
Hmm.
If you flip it over, and it's at first it just looks like he's walking and there's a reflection of him in the water on the street.
Right.
But it's not. It's actually I'm looking at the cover and it's like, and if you flip it around, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
So that's that. It's right on the cover what we just said, like real world, dream world type thing.
Right.
Similar to that painting in Batman Meets Superman. Batman v Superman. Remember the painting with Lex Luthor had?
Mm-hmm.
That one. So, all right. What else did you read this week?
Not anything that really stands out, unfortunately.
Daredevil?
I did read Daredevil. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't one of the best issues. Like, it didn't jump out at me, but it's still solid.
Yes.
Still continues to be a great book. But nothing specifically happened in this one that really stood out for me.
A little bit. I think it's still going really well. Dr. Joe and I had the conversation last week about, is it that Daredevil's just been on such a long run that it feels like it's waning a little bit and kind of like Nightwing has taken over?
Well, like, I just feel like now we take it for granted a little bit. Like it's just, we're used to it. Like we just know it's good.
Right.
And yeah, it's kind of, like I said, it didn't stand out for me specifically, but there was nothing wrong with, obviously there was.
No.
A solid book for sure, but yeah, I kind of feel like when you maintain that level of excellence for a while,
right?
Then like it just podcast. Becomes. Yeah. But yes, and in but when you are at a certain high level for a long time, then that just becomes the median, right?
That's the and level, then, and it feels right. like you aren't so, very high. It's like, huh?
Right. So
yeah, it's
and
not
it's unfair,
new
I guess, to expect these things to continue to.
Exactly.
To push the boundaries, but
right. And that's the thing is I wouldn't say Nightwing is better. It just it like almost achieved the same level, but it feels like Nightwing is just like because it's fresh and you're like right. you know, it's more recent. You're like, "Oh, this is I can't wait for I still can't wait for Daredevil every month." And but oh. now I'm like Nightwing to me is like every month you're at that level.
Yeah, you know what did stand out for me, actually, now that I'm thinking about it? Crossover. Did you read the crossover
no,
number seven?
No, I didn't read that yet.
Oh, well, because it's all about Chip Zdarsky, right?
Oh, really? Oh.
He wrote this issue. Like, Donny Cates didn't write this one. Chip Zdarsky wrote it.
Oh, okay. And he wrote
about
himself?
He's the main character. Yeah, he's the main character in the book.
He's awesome.
And so what's funny is that, and I don't know if this is 100% true, but it seems like Chip Zdarsky is like his... like his stage name, and that's not his real name.
Right.
And so he's two different characters in the book. Like Chip
awesome.
Zdarsky is like the pixelated superhero character.
Yeah.
And then his real name, whatever it is, Clark Kent or whatever, is the guy. And yeah, it was really cool. But the way
so
he
funny.
Refers to himself, like as Chip Zdarsky, is like, you know, very,
that's
he's
awesome.
Got a very high opinion of himself. Let's put it that way. But it's a larger than life character as
right.
opposed to his real life. So that was actually pretty fun. I did enjoy
that's the
that.
One I didn't get. One of the couple I really wanted to get to and I didn't get to.
Yeah.
I did read
a lot of fun.
Spawn 319. Like I said, because after reading
oh, okay.
Spawn's universe,
yeah.
I grabbed that last week. I was like, I got to keep going, and I'm loving it. It's like
yeah.
I haven't read Spawn.
Ever.
Like, yeah. Religion. I know the character, you know, I get it.
Well, yeah.
But I'm having a blast with it. I'm like, because the artwork's fantastic.
Yeah.
So colorful, so well done. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm like, hey, that was fun. And like
awesome.
Every week now, I'm like, is there a new Spawn book? Any Spawn
right.
book? Is Spawn's yeah. universe?
Well, we're going to have four. We're going to have one a week coming up before the end of the year. There'll be four a month. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. War of the Realms all over again.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it'll be that bad. You just said
no.
one a week. War of the Realms was like, there were times where there were four or five a week.
Well, and they won't necessarily be connected, so you don't have to buy all four.
Right.
Like, one week will be King Spawn, one week will be Gunslinger Spawn.
Right.
Like, you can pick and choose which ones you want to read.
But even in this week's Spawn, you can see they're already starting to intertwine the universe. And
yeah.
You're getting, yeah. They're getting you ready for that.
Cool.
One that comes out today, I already read because it obviously came out yesterday, was The Nice House on the Lake. Have you
read
that
yet? Yeah, I haven't
read it yet. No, not yet. Oh, man.
That'll be one of my first reads.
Because we have nothing to look forward to next week, that would have been on our list. Number two, The Nice House on the Lake. It's fantastic. And it answers a bunch of the questions that we had last week. And
cool.
Obviously, can't wait for number three. I almost was going to text you and say, check this out so we could talk about it. But I didn't want to make you have to read something. I know you're busy.
Yeah, I just didn't. Yeah, I was busy
before
today.
Before we record.
There's actually a bunch of books today. You know, Masters of the Universe Revelations comes out today.
Oh, okay.
That's the prequel book to the Kevin
show?
Smith show that's coming out. Ordinary Gods, number one, comes out. Skybound X comes out. There's a lot. Extreme Carnage starts. So this is actually a really great week for comics. So as you're listening to this, you should be on your way to your comic store to pick up your books.
Funny thing is as I'm listening to this, that's where I'm headed.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow morning I'll be like, okay, what did John say?
Yeah, well, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
We would have had a lot of books to
talk about next week. Yeah. But let's get to that. Where are you headed?
Mexico.
John's on vacation. Where we are at Brightside Chat is off next week. Because we are. John's I'm
leaving
to Mexico.
Saturday. Yeah, leaving Saturday. We're going to Mexico City, and we're going to go around a bunch of places around Mexico City, and we'll be gone for a week. So
nice.
Yeah, just come back Saturday, and yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
How long of a flight is that for you guys?
2 hours, 2.5
yeah,
hours tops. Yeah, it's pretty close. But I've never been to Mexico City. I've been to the border towns, you know, and crossed over several times there.
Yeah.
And been to Cancun, but I've never been to like Mexico City, which is, you know, the big financial capital, you know. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. What made you go there?
Lydia wanted to go. She's talked about it a bunch of times over the years, and
has she been down there yet?
She's been to Mexico City as a kid. She hasn't been in 40 years or so. You know, it's been a long time. But there's a lot of surrounding towns that she's talked about a bunch of times wanting to go to. We wanted to go. We wanted to get away this year. We haven't been on a vacation in 10 years or so. It's been a while. So, I mean, the last time we went anywhere was to come up, you know, to see you guys when my
grandmother
passed away.
That was no vacation.
And that wasn't really a vacation. We wanted to get away. We, you know, we're thinking about Europe, you know, maybe we'll go to Italy or something. But we spent a bunch of money on the house this year, so we didn't want to spend quite that much to go to Europe.
You've been to Italy, though, haven't you?
I've never been. No, I've never been to Europe.
I thought you did. I thought you.
No.
I thought you. I remember you
talking. No, I've never been, and it's kind of been on our bucket. Like, you know, we've been talking. We were supposed to go on our 5-year anniversary. That was 15 years ago. You know,
Italy?
And it's like, yeah. And it's just never happened. You know, it's never been a good time.
Yeah.
And even now is not a great time. Like, for me to be that far out of pocket with the business is hard.
Right.
So,
It
just wasn't a great time for that. But like I said, we're going to do this and should be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Good for you guys. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just telling a guy today, I mean, for what I do for work, I don't get it off days, but I'm off every day that it's bad weather.
Right.
But I can't schedule those and stuff. And he's like, what do you do for vacation? I haven't taken one.
Yeah.
I haven't been on vacation since 2005. For a whole week, like taking a whole week off. And I'm like, but I don't mind because I have other days off, you know, but I can't travel like that. But someday we'll, you know, now that the kids are older and we're not supporting them as much in the next few years, we'll be able to do more. And I'll probably start taking a week here and a week there. But we'll see. But it's tough when you have a bit,
it's hard.
Especially
when
you're the only one with the business. It's like, okay, so if I don't work, I don't get paid. So whatever it costs to go away, I have to pay that plus the amount of money I'm not making while I'm gone.
Your brain
starts going ching ching.
I've got orders due. I've got things that have to happen. I'm going to be ordering late night Saturday before I leave, and Sunday morning when I get back, I'm going to be at the store ordering because FOCs are due on Sunday.
Right.
So you know I'm going to have to get that stuff done, and I don't have anybody really trained to do that kind of stuff. You know, my guys can receive the shipment and stuff like that, but as far as anything else goes. And, you know, Mexico, it's not like I can just jump in a car and be back, but it's the same time zone. You know, it's like, you know, the international calls are free from Mexico to the U.S., so it's like I can still text, I can still call, I can still do things. Being in Italy is a little different because the time zones are completely different and
just a little bit
connectivity is a little bit harder, so we'll get there one of these days, but it wasn't this year, so
all right so that should do it. You ready to get to real world?
Yeah.
All right, John. John, what was on your screen this week?
All right. Well, the first thing we finished was season 4 of Queen of the South. I think last week when we talked, we had like 4 episodes left. And I know I mentioned that we were not going to finish them when we finished recording Tuesday night.
Yeah.
But we did. So Lydia stayed up late and we finished that. And, yeah, now I am like actively jonesing to watch season 5, which apparently I'm going to have to pay $20 for to buy it on Amazon Prime. But I will be doing that tomorrow probably because I need this. I can't wait 10 months to find out what happens. So yeah, that was, you know, great, great season 4, great show. Really enjoyed that. We've talked about it a bunch of times, so I don't really need to reiterate it again.
Yeah.
Then we watched a couple of movies. Well, I watched, my son wanted me to watch, a documentary on Hulu, for the 8 days a week about the Beatles. And so we watched that.
Yeah.
And that was really good. It's kind of not necessarily a documentary on the band itself specifically, but it was more about like the touring years. So it wasn't like,
right,
this is how we started and this is how we met kind of thing, but it was focused more on the touring that they did, and why that stopped and how big of a thing that was at the time when they were touring. And it was really good. I mean, I love the Beatles. I'm a huge Beatles guy. So, and my son is as well. And obviously he got that from me. And so he watched it and we watched it and that was pretty good.
Is that new or is it?
No, I know it actually came out in like 2016, okay, but there is a new one that coming I saw on Disney Plus. Yeah,
yeah.
It's coming out. Peter Jackson is doing.
Yes. My brother
Get
told
Back.
Me about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's on. I watched his little 2-minute blurb on it the other day because I stumbled on it when I was watching Loki, I guess, on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is coming out in November. So definitely we'll be watching that. But yeah, that looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
All right. Then we watched the new HBO Max movie, No Sudden Moves. That dropped, I think, on Thursday or Friday last week. I don't know if you saw this. This was like one of the day and date releases.
Yeah.
That hit theaters as well. This has got like everybody in Hollywood in it. Like Don Cheadle is in it. Benicio del Toro is in it.
Oh yeah, I saw the trails for it. Yeah.
Brendan Fraser is in it. You name it. Like there's a whole Ray Liotta. It's got a whole star-studded cast.
Yeah.
It's like a 1950s gangster show. Don Cheadle is kind of like the head gangster, along with Benicio del Toro. And it's just like a heist. It's kind of like a gangster heist movie. It was just so-so, though. Honestly, I was a little let down by it. With the cast and everything, I was hoping to enjoy it a little bit more than I did.
Right.
It ended up being a little confusing at times, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on. But all in all, it was fine. You know, I wouldn't say don't watch it, but it didn't really blow me away. So
didn't float your boat the way you wanted it to?
Didn't float my boat. After that we watched Greenland, which I hadn't seen. And that
I saw that one a while ago.
Yeah, it came out a while ago. I can't think. Oh, Gerard Butler. I couldn't think of his name for a second. Gerard Butler and Marina Baccarin. This is basically the disaster end of the world movie where somehow Greenland gets spared from the.
Well, they don't really get spared, but
extinction
there's a.
There's an extinction level event coming, and they got to get to the bunker.
There's a bunker
in Greenland.
There, yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically one of those movies, you know. And it was fine. It was fun. Again, wasn't the best movie in the world.
No.
But it was great for home theater.
Yes.
It was fun to watch. I like Gerard Butler. I like Marina Baccarin. So
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fun. It was like you said, it's a fun home theater.
Well, fun
theater
in
movie.
The sense that everybody's gonna die, so you know, if that floats your boat, it was fun. But it was just your typical disaster movie, you know.
It's like you can't even keep a bunker a secret nowadays.
Exactly.
It's like people knew it was there. They just didn't know how to get to it, it seemed.
Right.
Like, yeah, crazy.
So, yeah. So we watched that. And then we started watching a show from Starz called The White Princess. Is like a... There was a show we watched like 4 or 5 years ago called The White Queen, and apparently I didn't realize this was like a spin. Like there's a whole like MCU verse going on with these princesses, because they had the White Queen. Now they have the White Princess, and then there's, I guess, the Spanish Princess, which it's all related. But it's basically all – it's kind of all like, you know, fights for the throne. Like this is a – you know, they're fighting for the throne of England. The White Princess, and she is – what's her name from what's the name of that show? Villanelle. She plays Villanelle. It's like that Killing Eve. That's from Killing Eve. She plays the blonde on Killing Eve. But she's married to Henry the VII, you know, and you know, they're fighting for the throne. So it's all that kind of stuff. It's like medieval times fighting for the kingdoms and all that. So yeah, it's actually pretty good. We're not done with it yet. There's like only one season, it's 8 episodes. But then like I said, it spins off into The Spanish Princess, which is like another sequel series that has 2 seasons. So I think we're kind of down for that next whenever we get finished with this one. But yeah, it's been pretty good. You know, again, if you like that kind of, you know, King Arthur type of time period and all that backstabbing for the throne kind of stuff, it's pretty good.
It's the only way to get the throne, John.
Well, it is, right? I mean, because they don't just give it to you.
No. you gotta kill your dad or something.
Yeah, you got to win it. So. So yeah, it's pretty good show though. So,
you know, that was a more civilized time.
Yes.
There was no internet. So you could kill somebody and nobody really got mad at you.
Nope. Yeah. Nobody really, well,
you just
even
became
knew.
King.
Yeah. People just disappeared and you know, you could just literally say, I want to be king. And like, if you had more guys on your side, you pretty much got to be king. Yeah. So that's kind of what this is all about.
Obviously,
there's a legitimate there's a legitimate heir that is trying to get the throne back, and it's all about that kind of stuff. So, but it's been pretty
good. Do they have any dragons?
So, no dragons. There's no
supernatural.
So it's
not realistic.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have the budget for dragons, so we didn't get that, but yeah, it's more you know, again, it's not based on sorcery or it's not fantasy at all. It's kind of historically somewhat accurate because obviously they take a lot of liberties.
I've seen what goes on in England when the queen comes out and I've seen where they live. That looks like fantasy to me.
Well, you're right.
Not to make fun of an entire nation and their hierarchy. But
these were the days when if you were the king, you were lucky to live past 30.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, because you got stabbed in the back.
Nobody gets reelected, you know. There's no second term for these guys. Most of them.
Well, no, because it's all one term.
It's like being Caesar, you know, like.
Right.
You don't have a long lifespan when you're the Caesar of Rome. No. So. And then other than that, of course, we watched Bad Batch and Home Before Dark. Those are the only 2 weekly shows that we're watching right now. So,
all right.
So we had quite a bit this week, actually.
Well, I got a few movies here that I watched because we didn't really, Jen and I really didn't sit down and watch anything this week, really. We just watched our regular, like, you know, regular CBS shows or something when we sat down. But I watched Batman, The Long Halloween Part 1.
Hmm.
Have you, it's no, only out on disc yet. So
yeah, I haven't seen it.
Part 2 comes out, I think, in August. But I grabbed the Blu-ray. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm debating on whether I should go back and read the book again. It's been years since I read Long Halloween.
Yeah, I haven't read it for a while either. But
yeah, I have the Absolute Edition, and I'm like, oh, do I go back and revisit it? Because there's slight differences so far.
Right.
But you know how, like, I didn't get upset, but people get upset, like Hush. And it was like, now Long Halloween comes out in 2 parts. And is it like, did they do it that way on purpose? Although it is nice because we get basically a really nice long movie out of it. Because you get,
like 3 hours probably.
Almost. Yeah. Well, this one was like 125, maybe a 120 if you take the credits off, something like that. So you're looking at 240 for a movie, which is
still not the Snyder cut.
No, but, no. but I there's some slight differences so far, but we don't know, you know, who it is.
Yeah, yet. You haven't seen the second half yet.
So you don't know. They could do like a, oh, all right, that's a big change in the second half. Right. But I really like the artwork a lot. Like, I love the design. There's some Batman at times, I wanted to say he looked like the Batman. When you see it, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a few scenes where they get close in on his face and stuff or whatever. And he looks like the Batman from the Super Friends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's cool. It's not bad. Yeah. It's not like you're like, oh, that's bad.
I was going to say, that's a different art style for sure.
Yeah, but it's like you could see that early on. It looked like the artwork from the book, like in the credit scenes and stuff, looked really good.
I've seen the trailer for it, so it definitely looks good.
It's good. It's good. One interesting point is that, and this isn't a spoiler, but it's I don't remember this from the book, but they like lean into Batman not being a good detective.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you know how like Long Halloween's supposed to be like year two,
right?
It's early on in his career. And there's a line in here where he goes, I didn't think Batman needed to be a detective. Batman says that. He's talking to Alfred. And it was, that kind of threw me a little bit. It doesn't bother me. And I'm like, maybe I don't know about the part two, but maybe that's an interesting part to the story. I don't think anybody's ever thought that. Anybody's ever said that.
Yeah, well, because in the canon,
he's always just been a good detective.
Well, right. In the canon origin, he studied, part of his studies was detective work. You know, I mean, he studied fighting, you know, all that time where he was gone learning to be Batman, a lot of it focused on detecting. So
detective work
goes
stuff,
a little bit against, goes a little bit against that. But, you know, these things all take liberties. And
It was just, it was interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. There was one scene where a character got punched and he fell down to the ground, and the artist in me got a little bit like, John, because he kept
had
pushing
a John moment.
He kept pushing his face into the snow.
Yeah,
like I think Batman was pushing him on the back of the head into the snow, and the snow kept flexing like he was on a pillow.
Oh,
and that's not what happens. Snow doesn't flex back.
Snow wouldn't do that. Yeah,
you just go into the snow and there'd be a hole where your head was.
Exactly,
and it kept flexing back like a pillow, and I'm going, what that's weird. I'm like, no, that's not what's the guy must have like the whoever's drawing this must have like grown up in like Florida or California.
Right.
Never been
didn't spend
in
a lot
snow.
Of time. Didn't spend a lot of time around snow.
Right. And that's as nitpicky as I can get. That's but right. Other than that, I thought,
well, that's not bad then. If that's the worst you can do.
I thought it was good.
So,
cool. And the other movie I watched, I put the podcast out already. The Tomorrow War on Amazon Prime.
I started to watch that.
Don't tell me you fell asleep because you can't.
No. We were at my daughter's house for 4th of July on Sunday.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, we were always early. So kind of like before everybody started to show up, my son-in-law was flipping through and said, oh, have you guys seen this yet? And I said, no, I haven't. I really didn't want to watch it at that time, though, because I knew I wasn't really going to be able to pay attention and get the experience, but he put it on anyway, so I watched a little bit of it, and then I just got up and walked away because, like, I just didn't want to. I wanted to watch it fresh,
at home,
you know, and at home,
and you
with
need
my
to see
surround
it
sound and all that stuff. So, so I just haven't had a chance. I actually wanted to watch it last night, but Lydia got home from work a little late, so it was. We didn't have time to watch it. We might watch it this evening after we're done because I'm actually dying to watch it. Because from what I did see of it, the premise seemed really interesting. Like it was really pretty unique.
I don't know if I'd say that. It's definitely
maybe not unique, but it was
not unique.
Different.
Yeah, it's. You'll see. I can't wait to talk to you about it. Maybe we'll talk in a couple of weeks when you come back and we'll talk about it because I wouldn't say it's unique, but it's another take on kind of, and I think at the end you'll be like, Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And I know some of that, it's hokey. It's got, yeah, you know, you're going to be like, that wouldn't, and like I said, Joe and I had so much
fun. Well, I already,
with it.
From what I saw of it, I already was a little bit like, that's not how time travel would work, right?
Well, like, depends on which version you subscribe to. And
well,
this and
I
that,
guess,
and
but
it's like, because
kind of like, if like, I go to this war and I get killed, my kid doesn't get born. You know what I mean?
No. So, they actually do a good job with that because they only take you.
If you were going to die.
If you're going to die, your kid's already been born. So you go there right in the middle of your life. It really, but there's a lot of stuff like I said, you and I could talk about it. I think it'll be a fun one to talk about in a couple of weeks after a lot of people. I mean, the interwebs are like having a field day with it because some people hate it.
It's really gotten, it's not getting the best reviews, but everybody in my daughter's house loved it. Yeah, as I say, they all loved it.
Right.
I didn't see enough of it to know one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really just tried to avoid it. And then I actually eventually just had them turn it off.
Yeah.
I was hearing things that I didn't really want to be hearing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, but can you just change that to something else? And they put Terminator 2 on.
Well, kind of the same. It's more like Terminator. But pulled at the heartstrings for me. I'll explain that later. And the home theater side of it. A lot of my like home theater people, the conversations we were having were like, the people that don't like this, they got to be watching it like on a 32-inch TV and not getting the full experience because it's an absolute thrill ride of an experience. So,
right.
And speaking of thrill ride of experience, I also watched Independence Day in 4K.
Oh, yeah.
So much. That's this week's podcast for my home theater.
Oh,
but,
man.
What a blast. What, you don't like that one?
I do not.
You don't? Oh, no. I love that movie.
I really do not.
It's so
I am
much
not
fun.
A Will Smith fan. We have to discuss this before. There's certain movies that I can tolerate him in. This is not one of them. I just really don't like him.
Really? I can't even imagine what he did bad in this movie.
I don't know. I just don't like him. And this was just too much Will Smith.
Did
I guess.
Did you meet him and he wasn't nice?
Yeah,
to you?
He didn't shake my hand. Yeah, I didn't really dig him. It was kind of
weird. Is that time you travel across the country with him? Guys got pissed at each other.
Yeah,
that's a shame because I love that. I had a blast with it. I love that movie. So all right, we'll leave it on that then.
No, I mean, hey, it. If you liked it, you liked it. I mean,
oh, I love the movie. I love the movie. That such great lines in it. It's like, I'm back. It's good stuff. All right. Let's get to Bad Batch.
Okay. All right.
All right, this week seemed kind of like a filler.
I was just going to say, I don't want to say it was a filler episode, but it kind of was. It was just, you know, they kind of leave Omega behind and go have their mission.
Yeah.
And, it was just okay. Like, nothing really happened. You know.
Well, did it or didn't it? Like, you find out how good Omega is at being a
strategist. I guess, right?
Right,
because they're playing hollow chess, and they discover that she's really good at that.
Yeah, she just knows, like, that's the move. And I mean,
I think part of that is the Jango Fett in her, right? Like, it's the,
I guess
it's part of her.
Still
DNA
don't know what
makeup,
who
I would
he
say,
is,
right? Well, but we know he was a tactician. He was Boba Fett's a bounty hunter, supposedly the best bounty hunter out there. So. Obviously, they have skills, so
they possess great skills.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Ninja. That's okay. So I'm guessing that that's part of that, but because they're all tacticians, the clones are all military, and so that kind of falls in line with that. But I don't know. It was I'm struggling to think of anything meaningful that really
rescuing
happened.
The senator. I mean, yeah. It was an interesting, there were some good action sequences in the rescue and everything, but it's like, how is this going to pay off? I mean,
right.
What do we get? We got 16 episodes, right? So we have.
Yeah. And that was what, 10?
That was 10.
Yeah.
So we got six left. Yeah. What do we get? What does this mean?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, she convinces them to not leave her behind on
They'll
any
never
future
leave her.
Missions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because
well,
we assume
no,
she
we
beat
don't
Hunter
know that.
At chess. Did, well, did, we're going to assume she wins, right?
That's what I was going to say. Does she beat Hunter?
I would assume so. They didn't say, but we're going to see her on the missions, so we have to assume that she does.
Well, I'm wondering if they do, instead of, like, she'll get to go on a mission and you'll get the one line from Hunter, be like, even though you didn't win, we're going to take you. Something like that. Cause,
maybe.
You know, I still want her to have something to learn, because otherwise, if she beats Hunter and then they're like, well, all right, she's in charge now.
Right.
It's like, yeah. I don't know. But this, I mean, I love that we're getting 16 episodes. Because
yeah.
I
well,
don't mind
fun,
a filler
no matter
episode.
What. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I said, even if it was just a kind of a filler episode, it's still good. It's still entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it was just like watching, when we watched the Clone Wars, there's tons of filler there. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's so. Six seasons.
Right. But there was
seasons.
So much filler in there.
And, so much filler, you know, that didn't even go in order.
Right. Well, yeah. But I guess you don't even, none of it even phases you, because when you're watching it, you just know, oh, well, I've got like 150 episodes to watch. Now, when we get these seasons one at a time, we're a little bit more critical of them.
Right.
And we're like, oh, I don't want that filler garbage. But
yeah.
You forget that you're always going to get some amount of that. In
yeah.
these shows, so
yeah, well, it's, I mean, that's what's great about our buddy Zach there, that it keeps like he sends me stuff on Instagram, and talking to him up here when he was living up here, it's like it's he went through the Clone Wars one right. episode at a time.
Yeah,
and it's like, imagine the torture as a kid.
Yeah.
And then what was it, season 7 finally comes out. It's like, and that was years later. And you're like, finally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're kind of spoiled now when you, like,
we
the
are.
Way we did Clone Wars especially. But
yeah.
But I still don't think that adds up to waiting 3 years between Star Wars and Empire, the Jedi.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah. So, all right. Is that it for this week?
I think so.
Is that all we got? We'll have Franklin on the screen as we roll out here.
There you go.
The new puppy. How you doing, buddy? I was going to bring him down here, but I'm like, he's...
You're too much of a handful.
Yeah, he's just like, he's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, my mutt's in here shaking her head right now.
I could hear it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could hear her.
Yeah.
She groans like an old man, you know. It's like she's always like clearing her throat and stuff, you know. It's like
That's all right. I was taking some laundry out of the dryer and I dropped something on the floor. You know, you got all the laundry in your hand.
Yeah.
Piece falls on the floor and I bend down, pick it up, and I grab it. And Jen yells from the other room, "You okay?" Yeah, I'm fine. I just had to bend down.
I just bent down.
I just made a noise. I was like, Yeah.
It's like you creak like an old house when you bend down.
So funny. So. But yeah, Franklin, they told us, they're like, oh, they're great. The litter, they were all quiet. They've always been quiet. All he does is, if we go, he knows where the treats are, what closet. If you go near that closet, he just starts barking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Already learned.
But he also has, I said, like, where he came from. He was one of like a bunch of little tiny dogs that he got along with. Now he's in a house with a giant husky.
Right.
And, you know, he's 9 pounds. The husky's 50. Stan's probably, he's 25 pounds. He's twice the size of this, of Franklin. So he has to do something to stand out.
Right.
It's like, if he gets too loud and Romy, the husky, sees, she'll just show her teeth.
Yeah.
And he just, she doesn't even make a noise. She just shows her teeth and he's like, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But, all right, that'll do it for this week. In the meantime, actually, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So, in the meantime, you can hit us up on Twitter @brightside_chat, or you can, tweet at John directly while he's on vacation. He loves that. I'll definitely respond right away to that. takes him 2 days to get back to me.
I was just say, I don't respond right away now.
I know. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I'll forward all messages on to John on his vacation. And you can go to the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Check out us and all the other great podcasts there. And don't forget, you can still go to YouTube and hit subscribe. That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. We're going to be doing Loki in probably about 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Yep. I don't know how long this takes. So let's get out of here, John.
All right.
No, live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door locked?
It is.
Perfect. That's what we like. All right, back to Loki. Spoilers, door is locked. We're going to be talking spoilers. If you're not keeping up with Loki, I don't know why you're listening to us, especially this far into the podcast.
Well, yeah, at least this part of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, John, we did it again. The timekeepers aren't real.
They are not.
We
They are mechanical constructs.
They are. So let's touch on that for a minute. So who is running this? Like,
yeah, we don't know.
Right? Because there obviously there's somebody like Wizard of Oz is somebody's who's behind the curtain.
Yeah, the great and powerful Oz, I guess, is running things, right? Well, is it what's the name of the judge?
I don't think it's her.
Is she the one in charge?
No, because she looks just as much in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, like if it was her, why would she go into that room?
Right.
And talk to them and then come out.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
It's like, or she could just go into the room and pretend.
Right. I mean, right. Keep up appearances, but
maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Who built, at this point, who built the timekeepers? Lots of questions. Don't have any answers. Even though they were robots or androids or whatever they were, that doesn't mean they weren't still in charge. You know what I mean? Like, just because
somebody's pulling those robot strings.
Maybe, but like you have Vision who is like autonomous, right?
Right.
Like he's sentient and has thought and independent action. So they could have that as well. Just because they were built at one point by somebody doesn't mean they're not in charge.
Right.
It didn't feel that way though, because once the one guy's head fell off or whatever, they all just kind of crumbled and.
Right. Well, so is that if you kill one, then it's like a self-destruct mechanism.
Honestly, that whole thing felt like an old Star Trek 66 episode.
Yeah.
You know? Like it felt
even before the head came off, as soon as they showed them, I was like, wow, they can't be real because this looks so hokey. And that is not like Marvel.
No, it's not.
It looked like animatronics before even before they exposed that it's.
But now you wonder, how did they fall for that? Like, she was apparently the only one that was allowed in the room, right? Like, Mobius was never allowed in there. But, like, she was fairly close to them when she was in there. Like, how did she not notice that they weren't alive, you know?
Right.
If we could see it from the screen that they looked animatronic, how does this woman that goes in there and takes all her direction from them daily not, like, question what's up with them, you know?
Well, but here's the thing is, I think the same way that they took these people from Earth or wherever on the timeline and turned them into they are variants, right?
Right.
But they brainwashed them or manipulated their minds so they forgot where they were from. So it's the same way that they're probably manipulating, like, that judge person or whatever. Like, okay, well, you're not going to know that this is all an illusion.
Well,
the entire thing is an illusion.
It feels like she knows that they were, like, it feels like she knew that Mobius was a variant. So it seems like she's in the know somewhat. I think so. Because when he really started to question it, she deleted him. You know? It's like when he really kind of started to put the truth together, she got rid of him. Like, anybody that's piecing it together seems like she's getting rid of them.
Did she get rid of them? Because we don't know where they go. Because if you saw
that was my first thing.
Mid-credit scene.
When I saw Mobius get deleted, I just kind of assumed he was dead. But when they did it to Loki, I was like, well, where do they go? Because you know Loki's not dead.
Right.
So now they revealed that Loki went somewhere, but we don't know that Mobius went somewhere. You know what I mean?
And those three characters that Loki sees,
right,
are those the timekeepers? And they've been deleted?
Well, I don't know. They're Loki.
Or is that
because
like
one
a
of
rap
them's
band.
Definitely well, one of them was definitely Kid Loki. Like they're all other variants of Loki, is my understanding of it.
Right.
Like I don't know any more than you do, but I'm assuming there are other Loki variants. Because, you know, the one guy, the older guy, is wearing the very old 60s Loki costume. The kid is Kid Loki. You know, we've seen him in the comics. The other guy is just a variant that they might have made up. I don't know.
But there so
seems
like,
to me that they're all Loki variants. So when they get deleted, they don't actually get deleted. They're deposited somewhere else.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't really know.
Sent
what's
to another,
going on.
An alternate timeline, or they don't know. It's what's weird is so judging by like the Lokis, and they've even referred to that before the mid-credit scene. They keep referring to them like you've dealt with too many Loki. You've been dealing with Lokis too. Lokis.
Right. There's obviously been
and
multiple
we were
Loki
assuming
variants.
They meant just the two of them, right? What's her name? What did they call her?
Sylvie.
We just assumed that's the two they were talking about. Right. But what if, like, this entire thing is like, okay, we brought in Loki to help hunt down this Loki, but I think apparently in this entire thing, a Loki, and they're not sure which one is the one that brings down this whole entire, you know, what do you call it?
TVA.
TVA. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, it's Sylvie, right? She's the one that kind of beheads the.
She's the one, that took that down, but at that moment. But that can't be the end of the story because not everything's taken
down. No, it's obviously not
because
there's two more episodes. But
no.
But she's exposed.
I know that, but I meant.
But she's exposed the timekeepers for being.
Right.
Not being real, right?
But the timekeepers can see stuff on the timeline, and they're like, we've got to get rid of these Lokis because they're the ones that are causing a problem, and they're going to cause a problem. At what I think is, and we only have two episodes left, and where I think this has a potential of being, having that big finish that we talked about earlier is, we already know we're getting the multiverse.
Right,
but now you add in this entire ability to change timelines and go anywhere on a timeline. And as Mobius and the judge said, we all know, they both said to each other, like, you've seen the entire timeline.
Right.
So that means there's an end. They know the ending. Maybe they're trying to correct it. Because for you to have, if time isn't infinite, so how have they seen the entire timeline? They've seen the beginning. They've seen the end. They know the history, and they're trying to prevent something from happening. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, and the other thing is, there could still be timekeepers, right? Like, just because those weren't the timekeepers doesn't mean there aren't timekeepers.
Right.
Maybe those are just their emissary. Or maybe, like I said, that's what they put in place to do their grunt work.
Right.
You know, so they didn't have to answer questions all day to the judge, but there still could be the time. There still could be out there. So, I don't know. It's interesting to say the least, but the thing is, they've already kind of started to unravel the scam, right? Because all of those people were under the assumption that they were created by the timekeepers. And now the Lokis have revealed that that's not the case. They're all variants. So the whole thing is starting to, excuse me, it's starting to crumble down anyways. Like, the question now is what is the truth? Like, what is actually really
right
going on? You know, have they really seen? Like, are they variants at all? Like, does anybody actually know the timeline, or are they just pretending? Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's the thing.
It's, maybe nobody knows anything. You know, and they all just think they're taking direction from these guys that know things, but maybe nobody knows anything. So
right. Or do we find out at the end that this whole thing is, remember how we saw branches, and that's why they call it pruning and everything, because you're right. lopping off that branch. They're trying to prune this branch, and then they don't. And so we have this Loki going off, this branch is going to continue. Right. And, I mean, everything we know has been manufactured so far by the timekeepers, but now we know those timekeepers aren't real. So how do right. we know what they've said is real?
Right,
everything
that's what I'm saying.
Told
there could,
us, it could all
it
be
all
a
could
lie.
Just be, could just be a hoax, you know?
Right. Like, and I mean, even like when they look at their little, like, what do you call the thing? A text machine or whatever, where they have
the
graph
little of, tablets or whatever.
The tablet with the timeline on it, and right. then when you get the branch off of it, and they have that manufactured. If it gets to the red, all hell's gonna break loose.
Right.
Well, they're the ones that said that. How do we know? Because they've
right.
never,
that's
they've
what I mean.
Always
it could
stopped
all be,
stuff.
It right.
could all be like manufactured just right. to keep these, the timekeeper people, the TVA.
But then what's the agenda? What's the reason for it all?
I don't know.
You know?
And that's
like,
why.
That's the whole thing. Why the ruse? Like, why even pretend to
right.
all of this? Like, there's got to be an end game. You know,
well, there was.
Quote,
there
unquote.
Was a few
well,
movies
yeah.
ago.
But I mean, there's got to be
Speaking
a.
Speaking of that, we have Black Widow this week.
Yeah, Thursday.
We didn't even mention
Tomorrow.
That. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I almost forgot to go. Like, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, oh, crap, I have this movie this week.
I
was
know.
All thinking about getting ready for my trip and stuff I needed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you got to
you know,
pack for the movies.
Yeah, stuff I needed to get at the store on Thursday for my trip and all that. And I would have forgot all about even going to the movie.
Wow, so. I know. I'm really looking forward to that. I cannot yeah. wait for Black Widow. I cannot wait
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, me too.
Funny, we didn't even talk about it in the podcast, and we won't be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, by the time we get back, we'll both have seen it.
It's old news.
Well, the whole world will have seen it by then,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so. Well, you're coming back when the Eternals is out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Shang-Chi, actually.
Oh, okay. All yeah, right. Shang-Chi. All right, that's good. Good time.
Yeah.
But back to Loki. So, obviously, yeah, we'll get Black Widow, which was supposed to be out a year ago. So I don't think that's going to have any effect on this Loki.
I don't imagine it will. No.
Maybe something pops up. I don't know.
I don't think there'll be too much connection there.
Yeah, I don't either. But the last thing, what I was going to say is, typically in these shows, the second to last episode is kind of like
yeah,
a
this
setup.
Is, this
one,
should be the one. Yeah,
where you're like, huh, and then we have a final thing. But that's why I think, like, this has an opportunity to do something that the other two haven't done yet, and that's end right. on, like, a huge reveal.
Right.
The other two haven't done that yet, and that's going to be really interesting, I think. I hope. If it doesn't, then I think it has a chance to, at the end, be it could be number one out of those three.
Or number three.
Or number three. You right. know what I mean? I actually see that as... It'll be tough for it to come in at number two.
Right.
Because I think that's where I have it right now. I agree with you about one. As much as I love Loki, I mean, WandaVision was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Loki was an absolute blast. And it has been, the conversation. And we felt like the only thing that puts Falcon Winter Soldier at the end is that it just wasn't as much fun for water cooler talk.
Well, that's the whole thing. It was great, but it was, I don't want to say it was generic, but it was kind of generic action, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
it wasn't breaking any new ground, really. It was just right. like watching another Marvel movie that we've already seen 20 of. And
right.
they're all good, but it didn't do anything like these two shows are doing.
Yeah.
So
the only thing, and we said it at the time, if they had pulled a Zdarsky and Spider-Man showed up in the final episode of Falcon Winter
yeah.
Soldier, I think we both would have been like, okay.
Well, so far, we haven't really had anybody show up in any of these shows.
No,
you know
I know.
What I mean? Well, actually, I take it back because Lady Sif showed up
yep.
in this one. And that
yeah.
was kind of fun.
That was
actually pretty fun. That was great. And I love the whole the whole romance that Loki had with himself.
God.
That was so great the way Mobius
Are you like me? Like at first you were like, that's kind of weird. That's your sister. No, it's not your sister.
It's not your sister. It's yourself.
It's yourself.
And then I've practiced a lot of self-love in my day. So, I mean, I don't really see anything wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The whole idea that he was so conceited.
Are you the master of your domain, John?
Yeah. I'm out.
He plunked the money down on the counter.
The whole idea that he could only be in love with himself was
you
pretty
and I
great,
talked
you know?
When that show came out, and we were like, we couldn't get through the conversation, and you would have been out.
What's all now, right? I couldn't even get the bet down. Right. I'm already out.
Like, anybody want to bet? I'm out. Yeah. I'm out. Ellen McPherson, done. And how about Owen Wilson was fantastic delivering those lines. He's like,
he was great.
He's like, what an epic, like, neurotic or like an
epic ego or something like that,
whatever
right?
The word is for like when you love yourself.
Narcissist. Epic narcissist.
That, not neurotic.
Right?
Narcissism. Yeah. Epic that narcissism. You fell for yourself. So great.
That was awesome.
I was laughing. And the look on Tom Hiddleston's face was awesome too, because he's just like, he got mad, but I thought.
But he never really denied it, you know?
Oh, like, how do you deny it?
He never said no.
How do you deny? No, he didn't.
Yeah.
And what I thought was great is I thought even that one scene and like, and how I thought like Mobius did such a great job and Owen Wilson did a great job of delivering that, like, oh, well, you don't have to worry about that. We've already, they pruned her. She's gone. So you can, and he delivered that in such a matter of fact way when, you know, like the character, no, he's lying.
Right.
And that's what I thought was great when we talked earlier about Owen Wilson and stuff. And yeah, he's Owen Wilson, but at the same time, he's lying through this entire thing to one person or another. He's lying to the judge at times. Now he's lying to Loki at times. He's letting the audience in on it with his different lines. I'm being like the one where they were getting in the elevator and Loki thought that he was actually being sympathetic when he told you as the audience, you knew which one was the truth. And it wasn't the one that
Loki thought it was,
which was very telling. But here, how about like Tom Hiddleston's face when he got delivered that news and he didn't even say anything, but you could see the expression on his face and you were like, did such a great job with that.
Yeah.
It was so, I mean, but then it turns into for something so emotional, it turns into something so hysterical because Owen Wilson's like, you're such a narcissist. It was so great.
Yeah.
So great. He's like, you fell for yourself. Oh, but
really good.
But that's something. I mean, is that the thing that set the thing off, the timeline off, or I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Do they have a kid? That's weird.
That would be weird.
You had a kid with yourself, but timelines are involved? I don't know.
Yeah.
And the other question: why did the judge went back when she was just an agent for the TVA? Why did she go after that Loki?
Right. Why did she kid? Right.
You know, why did she, they never, and they ask.
Right,
and
because I actually thought it was great, too, that, like, Sylvie has defined her entire life by getting revenge for that moment, right?
Yeah.
And then the judge was kind of like, it's like Thanos when he says, I don't even know who you are, you know?
Right.
She's like, I don't even remember what you're talking, and you know she does remember.
Yeah, she's lying.
But the way she says that, it is kind of like,
and that
that's
hit
cold,
Sylvie
man.
Like that. That hit her hard, you know, and it was like, you know, for somebody who has gone through and used the pruning sticks on so many agents, so Sylvie's killed, in quotations, so many people, and now you're going to find out, like, maybe she didn't, because
all of those people went in the upside down.
Yeah, in the upside down, exactly. I know, we're not back for 2 weeks, but man, so much is going to happen in the next 2 weeks. We have 2 episodes of this. We'll have 2 episodes of Bad Batch, Black Widow, and comics, John. It's all about the Canucks.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yep. All right. Is that it?
Yep.
All right. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
See you in a couple weeks.
All right. Take care.
Get into the store.
If I can find my keys, yeah.
There you go. All right. All right. Get us in there.
All right.
It's like you feel like Sheldon.
Waiting for it. Always waiting for it.
There you go. You feel better now?
I do.
Oh, man. All right. I can hit stop on this.